Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, what happened to the SHOP program designed to help small business owners with health insurance, and two small biz angles about online courses that provide specialty certification. Well, it's been nearly 2 years since the Small Business Health Options Program was rolled out as part of Obamacare's effort to insure more small business employees. But with only about 85,000 people out of a target of 1 million signed up nationwide, many are wondering what's gone wrong. Correspondent Dominic Savino recently talked with Kaiser Health News senior editor Phil Galewitz and said that a lack of options in most states has contributed to the SHOP exchange's struggles.
One of the biggest that stands out in my reporting that came out was that in many of these SHOP exchanges around the country, there's just not a lot of choice. In many of these SHOP exchanges, in several states, there's only one company. So the incentive to go on this small business exchange wasn't there because there was limited participation by insurers. As the individual exchange had some initial problems in the fall of 2013 on the technological part about the websites working, some of the SHOP exchanges around the country also face some of those technological problems.
Some small business owners have kept the pre-existing healthcare coverage that they had before SHOP was even rolled out because it's cheaper. It has less features and therefore is cheaper. Has the Obama administration or the government given any indication that they're going to try to close that ability off?
All insurance plans are going to have to meet these new requirements of the healthcare law starting in 2017. So that option to stay with your existing plan, that transition period is going to come to an end in about another year and a half. So that incentive to stay away will be gone. Employers will have had several years to have gotten ready for this. And a lot of people say the cost may be going up, but the benefits may also be going up for these plans. All the plans will be required to meet all these 10 essential health benefits. So they will be required to have all the doctor visits, mental health care, hospital visits, pregnancy. So there may be an increase in cost as these Affordable Care Act rules take effect on all plans in 2017. But the flip side is people would say is that people may be getting a better deal at the end. But again, the numbers have been really small. There have been several states like Kentucky really stood out. Say like Kentucky only signed up 92 employers and 900 people. So the numbers were really low.
Speaking with Phil Galewitz, he's a senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News. He's got a recent piece entitled Small Businesses Snub Obamacare's SHOP Exchange. Will the numbers jump at all for SHOP? Will they get any closer to the million enrollee goal that the government had for it when it was rolled out 2 years ago?
Obviously, there's a lot of room to grow here, and there's expectation that as more people become aware of this exchange, and particularly as more with the hope that more insurance companies will participate, that the numbers will grow. Again, this is voluntary, so people don't expect this to be really more than the SHOP to really sell more than maybe 10 or 20% of the entire market. This will be another avenue for them to explore. But this will not go the same way where the individual health insurance market, you know, we're seeing, you know, 80% of the individual market is sold on the marketplace plans. But on the other hand, there is an expectation and a hope that the numbers will increase and that will be another factor in helping lower the uninsured rate around the country, which has already dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and also give employees of these small businesses more options.
Correspondent Dominic Savino with Kaiser Health News senior editor Phil Galewitz. Coming up next, two small biz angles about online services that provide specialty certification.
While most video surveillance solutions capture and store hours of nothing, CUDA Eye by Barracuda Networks only captures video when something happens. Once captured on camera, the video evidence is immediately encrypted and sent to the cloud for safe storage and easy retrieval from any web browser or mobile device. With CUDA Eye, there's no network configuration or software to install. Just plug one or more cameras into your network to better protect your business. Don't get caught with nothing. Do something about it. Check out CUDAEye.com. That's CUDAEye.com.
You've heard employers say that too many job applicants don't have the required skills that may be the case at your small business. That's led to a boom in online classes and tutorials from providers like Udemy and Lynda.com. there are also these coding boot camps, right? And massive open online courses, or MOOCs as they're known, such as edX and Coursera. However, recruiters say those new credentials don't carry much weight in hiring yet. Talk about a catch-22. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Lauren, what do we have?
There's this proliferation of new ways of attaining skills. The problem is that even though employers say that they desperately need a lot of those skills, they still don't quite recognize or trust a lot of the providers of those credentials or badges or certificates.
Wow. And why not? Have they given reasons?
A lot of it is just deeply entrenched hiring practices. You know, they're very reliant on bachelor's degrees still, even though there's been a lot of questioning about what is the meaning or value of that degree, or not just a bachelor's degree, but an associate's degree. They want to know that the institution that that somebody attended has been accredited, or you know, that it's been validated. And you know, with some of these newer models popping up, you don't really know what the quality is of the coursework. Often, since it's self-directed learning, you don't even know if somebody actually completed the course, even if they've put it on their resume.
Wow. All right. So, what are these companies that operate these online degrees have to say on their own behalf?
Well, you know, they will say, I had an interesting conversation with somebody who said, look, when Harvard University was founded, it wasn't immediately recognized as one of the best institutions in the country. You know, it took a while to develop a reputation. And so there's something similar at work here. It will take a while just to develop the reputation that ends up validating some of these credentials. But what's interesting I found is that there are a bunch of efforts underway to try to speed up that process because foundations and educators and employers all realize this is a serious problem. We've got this paradox that, again, the employers want to hire people with certain skills, but they're afraid to take the leap with people whose resumes list credentials that they don't recognize. So there are a few organizations that are trying to create kind of a database or a registry that will make that that will help speed up that process.
Got it. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Her piece is entitled Online Skills Are Hot, But Will They Land You a Job? All right. Some of these companies looking for bodies, can't they run some kind of test for these people who come in with these online degrees or certificates?
That's another way that this could go. So one possibility is the development of these centralized searchable databases or registries. So if I apply for a job, the recruiter or employer can kind of look up what was behind the credential that I might have listed on my resume. But another option is a very different direction, which is it's getting easier now to test people's skills during the hiring process. So you can send them an online test to complete or a challenge or, you know, give them a problem to solve or, you know, it's sort of famous in coding, give somebody a work challenge and ask them to write a piece of code and then you can evaluate that.
Yeah, yeah.
So some people are saying, you know, in the end, as we get better at assessing those skills at the upfront in the hiring process, where the whether you have a credential and where it came from becomes much less relevant because you can literally say, can this person do what I need them to do for this job?
Thanks, Lawrence. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Reminder, by the way, that you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback on whatever podcast platform you use, like iTunes or SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.